Hello, everybody. Welcome. So let's begin. Name the tune. Name the artist. Imagine there's no heaven, no something. What's the song? It's Imagine. It's about the beautiful world we can have if we put our hearts to it. But you got to balance being okay with the universe and understanding everything has a kind of rhyme and reason to it on the fundamental level. Actually, you don't need to do this, but if you want to really properly solve the problems, at least a minority of people need to have this awareness that there's all these things that shouldn't be happening that are bad on one level, but ultimately everything's fine in the big picture. And when you're aware of that, you can ground yourself in proper inner peace, and then you're consciousness will function clearly, and you can actually solve the problems from, you know, the thing of like you can't solve a problem with the conscious level of consciousness that created the problem. So guitar is going to be put slightly to the side while you digest that. Think about that. Okay, so now talking today about the balance between immigration and then, you know, loving everyone and having that balance of like, immigration, which is kind of, you know, embracing people, and also native rights. So the rights of people who are already living somewhere. So this is kind of life's a bit of like a fractal, you know, like it mirrors itself at different levels. Like, you know, the galaxies resemble atoms, you know, the electron cloud around the center of an atom. It's a bit like, you know, galaxies orbiting the center. And in a similar way, I think, like, you know, you have your house, and you could say, oh, you know, it's all just land, this is all social constructs. But basically, you know, come on, like, we all basically agree you have the right to your space. And then other people, you know, you worked and you earned and you've been here. And so this is your space. And we don't all want to be up in each other's faces all the time. So other people can request to come into your space. And if they're friendly and, you know, if you feel like it, they can come in. But they can have their own space. And then, you know, they can choose who they let in or whatever. And so, and people do let each other into each other's homes. And it's a beautiful world. We're all, you know, connecting. Most people are really nice. And in the same way with countries, the country has the right to choose who comes into the country. And most of the time, countries let people come in, and, you know, I guess, you know, that depends. But so, you know, I'm just going to go through like the basics of what I think like the balance of these things. I've mentioned it in previous podcasts, but just going to focus on this thing alone here. But basically, like, you know, in Ireland at the moment, there's like these crazy protests going on where like, crazy situations where like riot police have been deployed against protests in Newton Mount Kennedy, like, you know, this in Ireland, in the small town, and they want to put in another without asking the locals for permission. All the locals are like, we don't want this. And there have been many places like this, like Rosscrea. There's all these places where the locals are like, we are a small little place, we don't want a bunch of people from we don't know where being put, you know, onto the land. It's been shown from government documents, a lot of these people are economic migrants. They're not even asylum, you know, they're asylum seekers, but not genuine refugees. So that's a problem. But then you also have the thing of, you know, in general, we know from even in Ireland, go to certain areas of Dublin, there's a cycle of deprivation and then bad behavior. And so when you're deprived, materially deprived, you know, there's alcohol abuse, just poverty, you know, lack of education, sexual abuse, whatever. People, you know, they're not on their best behavior. They're sinking down to a kind of primal state of mind more. The people who, you know, on the fringes, they can, you know, they start behaving badly, you know. And then that can feed back and cause more problems in the neighborhood. So you could have a situation where poverty creates bad behavior, which then creates more poverty, which creates more bad behavior. And it's hard enough sorting out these feedback loops and kind of getting things moving in a good direction, even without immigration. But then what the government of Ireland is doing, and many countries around the world, against, you know, the citizens don't want it, against the democratic wishes of the citizens, is just bringing in loads of people from all these parts of the world where there's actually a lot of pressure. And, you know, apart from the fact that a lot of these cultures have significant differences, and so you can only integrate so much of these genuine differences in the way people believe and behave. Apart from that, like, which you will have through legal immigration, you know, even legal immigration, I think you shouldn't have it too fast, because, you know, the native people have a right to enjoy their culture the way it is, you know. And if they want, you know, like, you know, a million people coming in, it'll totally change it. And that's, you know, that's not fair to the local people if your government's just getting up on their high horse being like, yeah, we're going to do this. But apart from that, with the current situation, bringing in people from, you know, across the Middle East and Africa mostly, but all over the place, the kind of mass wave of asylum seekers, many of them economic migrants, and we know the rejection rates in like other countries are much higher. Same groups, like, you know, they go to Germany, France, higher rejection rates. Ireland, there's this kind of woke culture which is dominant in the government and the supposed opposition parties. And so they're the same groups. They're like, oh, they're magically, you know, all much more legitimate when they go to Ireland. Don't know. Anyway, the problem here is you're bringing in people from very deprived areas. Naturally, you know, bless their souls, we're all eternal souls from my point of view, we're all equal, we're all love. But their programming is a different kind of programming. And there's going to be a lot, we are importing a bunch of problems, because people who come from places with problems, you can't take them out of the place and then suddenly they're not going to create problems. The problem is part of them, like in many cases. That kind of, there's a certain lower consciousness, more selfish frame of mind, which evolves to adapt in very difficult situations. More primal situations, a more primal mindset. And then you suddenly import that into a less primal situation where we're blessed with great, you know, opportunity in the West. And say Ireland was more primal many times during our difficult history, but at the moment, not so much, you know. But these people, they're not going to immediately, you know, some of them will stop and go, oh, great, now I can just chill. There's a lot of people who they're going to keep, you know, behaving the way they were raised and taught to behave by their situation. And that's not their fault necessarily. That's just the way it is, you know. Most people don't have the strength of will to overcome our programming. And so immigration, you need to be mindful. We're already trying to, you know, improve our cultural habits and overcome addiction and violence, domestic violence, you know, just kind of bad culture, without bringing people in from very difficult situations where, and so, you know, there's room for it, but that's something to keep in mind. You know, there's a balance to be struck, and the people in government, they would just call you racist even for mentioning that. And it's like, well, there is a balance, you know. You can't bring people in, you know, like fresh out of some, you know, terrible situation and expect them to not be continuing to operate according to their coping mechanisms, which often you need to put yourself first to survive. And then you have the, you know, those, what offsets that often is a sense of identity. But, you know, like, oh, say in Ireland, there might be people who are like, oh yeah, I'm a, you know, a bit rough around the edges, but they see someone, they're like, oh yeah, but this person sounds like me, they look like me, you know, they're Irish, yeah, okay, our forefathers were fighting the English together, and oh yeah, all right, you know. And it dampens down that potential for predation and conflict. But then you bring in someone from some other culture, and, you know, both the local person to them, but also, you know, some local thug or whatever to them will be less sympathetic, and them to the locals, like the thugs among them, are going to be much more like, well, maybe these people, who are these people? I don't even know this, but, you know, you can see, like, human nature, there's a much greater potential for conflict. And if you think about the world, another point just to throw in out of nowhere sort of is, if you love diversity, as I do, I love diversity in my diet, in music, friends, all kinds of friends. I love, you know, I teach English and I meet, you know, there's all kinds of people from all countries of the world. I love it. It's great. It's amazing. And I'm always one-to-one, you know, I treat everyone with respect. I love everyone, but that doesn't mean, and sometimes it's funny. I think, man, some of these people might think, you know, like, what if they thought, heard me talking about immigration in general? And some of them are aware now that, you know, and there's a thought like, oh, I hope, you know, I hope they would understand. It's not coming from a hateful place, but there's a balance you need to strike. where you can love people individually, but that doesn't mean everyone should come in your house or everyone should come in your country. Even if there are many benefits to immigration, you know, like my partner is Czech and she's gorgeous, and our child is, you know, Irish and Czech, you know, Australian, Irish, Czech. And that's beautiful. My, you know, my good friends, like, you know, half of them, they've got like foreign girlfriends, or, you know, and that's all great, you know, amazing, no problem. And there's, you know, many benefits. There's many cool people who are from Egypt, or they're from, you know, Latin America or China. You know, that's all great. And there's a bunch of these people already in Ireland, and they're already giving these gifts. But if 22% foreign-born is giving this gift, do we really think we are going to get more, a greater, you know, if we bring it to 44% foreign-born, are we going to get twice as much gift? No, we're probably going to get half as much gift because it's going to put pressure and take away the native gifts. And to be fair, probably like 11% foreign-born would have the same level of gift, because a lot of this stuff is cultural contribution. And you know, maybe, I don't know what the exact level is, but like there is, and you know, I'm not saying, you know, like the native culture is better or anything, but it's like, it is the native culture. It is the way of being here, you know? And people love to travel. I think people coming to Ireland these days, I wonder what the Americans are thinking, like, oh, Ireland's a bit different to what I thought. I thought it's all like Irish, you know? Like, it looks quite different, you know? And think about that. Like, you go to Japan, it's great that it's Japanese and it's different. I wouldn't want to go to Japan and it looks Irish. Like, well, that's kind of boring. Where's the diversity? You know, this is what I was saying before. So actually, ironically, if we have this kind of global, like, complete melting pot thing, even if that's what the locals wanted, and in most cases it's not, go to Nigeria, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, let's, how, imagine they're like, oh yeah, we've got 22% foreign born people in Nigeria, how amazing is that? Aren't we getting more diverse? Let's get even more. You go to Swaziland, they're like, oh yeah, one day, I think the future of Swaziland is just everyone's just mixed together. And you go to, you know, Saudi Arabia, and like, yeah, I mean, like, we're all just people, you know, we should just mix to, you know, everyone get, we're getting in more and more people from Pakistan and from Hungary, and go to, you know, China. They're like, yeah, we got people from all over the place. But it's not happening. They don't want it. It's only happening in the West. And because I think there's this guilt about the empires, but those empires were just the latest empires. All the whole world's been having empires. It just so happened that as the wheel of progress was going, when, you know, the people who were in the driving seat of empire, kind of globally, were on the up, happened to be in Europe when technology reached that point. That could easily have happened with, you know, Asians or Americans, you know, Native Americans at that point, and they could have conquered the whole world, and they would have. It's just the human, I don't think there's something special about Europeans there. But, you know, I think there's this kind of guilt that Europe, you know, which allows Europe to feel like, oh yeah, maybe, and maybe there's other things going on, you know, I guess I won't get too deep into that. But the point is, like, all around the world, countries, you know, say there's someone here who's like, Jamie, what are you saying? I mean, like, come on, we need to embrace everyone. It's like, yeah, on some level, for sure, I agree, but there's a balance to that. In all things, there should be balance. And are you in favor, say, you know, for example, even like Qatar and Dubai and, you know, Bahrain and stuff, the Gulf states, they're not taking in refugees from Syria. And they're like very similar culturally, you know? It's the Arab world, and they're not taking them in. So why should we, you know, like all these, and again, you know, I think it's good that we're taking in some of them. But there's limits, and you know, there's limits on the current situation. We have limited resources. There's like schools are, you know, crowded. There's many Irish people on the streets, you know, aren't getting proper support from the government, while foreigners, many of them economic migrants who aren't genuine refugees, are getting, milking the system. This is a fact. It is happening, you know, to a huge extent. You have, you know, lack of housing, dire housing crisis, many, many problems where hospitals, you know, being overcrowded, people, you know, having, you know, these delays where these kids are getting disfigured for life because they're not getting surgery in time. And meanwhile, the government's just throwing money at other stuff where it could be putting it there. So there's genuine bad things that happen if the local resources are too stretched. And imagine your house. If you let too many people in your house, it's not going to go well. And so Now, that's not the only reason for this, like that there's too much immigration, but it is to say, well, while we're in this situation, let's put, the brakes on that a little bit instead of ramping them up like the government's trying to. And so local resources being stretched, apart from the whole cultural thing of like the people you're bringing in and what does that do to your spiritual growth as a nation when you could be bringing in a lot of people who are kind of in a more, got a lot of trauma that you're going to have to, what you're bringing on the burden there. And on top of that, we have like basically a peaceful revolution to win whereby the government have quite seemed to have, to a significant extent, whether by, whether intentionally or just kind of accidentally, unconsciously, they're to something, they're sleepwalking into this in some way or other. There is, it's the government seems to have sold out the values of free speech, fair borders, and full sovereignty, and these basic foundations of Western liberal democracy, and just a healthy society as our culture defines it. So we need to, not burn down the system and put heads on pikes or something, but just kind of marshal a public response that says, hey, this is government by the people, of the people, for the people. And yeah, elites are great. It's great that some people are obsessed with, organizing things and doing things and making it happen, and that's great. We need that, and that, but let it be more of a meritocracy anyway. But at the very least, let that, these elite institutions and whatever, not be kind of squeezing the people dry and, kind of genociding the culture. Let the culture bloom and be as it is and, have a balance there. So we have this kind of peaceful revolution to win whereby we kind of wake up the people politically and spiritually enough that the government has to adapt and go, okay, look, we'll take, find a compromise. And then we're like, okay, great, just take the pressure off a bit. We're not, you don't have to totally rewrite the rules. So we're doing that, and then we're bringing more people in, and that just makes it harder because a lot of these people come from places where the culture is, hey, keep your head down or you get shot in the head. like, just don't, government's not working for us. Don't worry about it. Just you focus on you. But it's like, that's not our culture. Our culture is, hey, the government is the servant of the people, and that's the culture we want to keep, right? And so what else here? So we have the whole, yeah, like the diversity thing. Going to Japan, it's beautiful that it's Japanese. And, Ireland being Irish is beautiful. England being English, beautiful. Mexico being Mexican, that's great. And there are a bunch of cultures where they are melting pots, like Mexico or Australia or, South Africa, I guess. Although within there, there are cultures where they're very, keen to preserve their own thing, and they're not about like mixing and mingling and, but so you can have parts of the world where everything's mingling together, and that's amazing. Like, the USA, for example. But it's also beautiful to have that diversity, and so you have parts of the world where it's just the way it is. It's Japan's Japanese. Yeah, they have almost no immigration, and they like it, and it's cool. I haven't been there, but for seeing pictures and just interacting with Japanese people, it's a very kind of traditional, solid, grounded kind of culture in that way, and I think that's really cool. And if we're like, oh yeah, restricting immigration at all is bad. You must be a bad person. You must not have enough love. You must be kind of got some tribal program gone wrong in your head, and you're not thinking clearly. Then you're, for one thing, you're calling all those people racist. So you're calling a bunch of brown people racist. So be careful, like you have to be fair, like, because that is the dominant attitude all around the world. Everyone's got, the vast majority of countries, basically everywhere except Europe, more or less, or the West, is like, yeah, we want the native culture and the native people to have their rights. You can come in and be a guest. Maybe in time you could even naturalize, become part of us. In many cases, Saudi Arabia, they're like, or Oman, they're like, yeah, people have been there, the third generation, they're still not citizens. They still have, they're second class citizens, so to speak. They have less rights than the natives. And you could say that's wrong. But I think, I don't know. That wouldn't be the system I would devise for my country, but I understand it. Oh yeah, that makes sense. They're the native people. It's their home. They're the collective ownership. It's kind of like a corporation, They have like a stake in that through their ancestral, work, and experience. And but, even the countries where they're like, yeah, come in, yeah, the vast majority of the world is not like that. It's the kind of, well, yeah, they're keen to preserve these things. So I think we need some self-awareness in Europe and in the West to be like, hey, the rest of the world isn't doing this, so why are we doing this when it's destabilizing us to a great extent? Crime rates are soaring. Like, it's pretty crazy. I didn't realize until quite recently there's a big correlation between mass immigration into Europe and crime, rapes of, you know, women, you know, murders, assaults. And that's not to say, oh yeah, you know, people outside of Europe, they're just barbarians. But it is to say that a lot of people who will get up and move from their society may be people who have been in extreme pressure. And when you put them in an environment where everyone looks different to them and they can't understand people, and it's, you know, survival is not necessarily assured, and education levels may not be very high, they might feel justified in kind of doing things they can think they can get away with, especially when they know the local culture in the elite circles is like, oh, you can't do any wrong, you know? And this is what we're seeing through Europe. It's really, you know, tragic. And it's actually not good for, you know, inclusion and bringing it, you know, people who are already here. Say there's some Syrian who's already, you know, in Ireland, who have been living here for ages. If, you know, bringing in more and more people into Europe and destabilizing things culturally, economically, in a security sense, is that good for these people who are already here? No, destabilizing things. Now you're going to turn the pressure on them, and that's not fair to them, is it? They've gone through enough, haven't they? And so I think if you think about it, like in life, very frequently, things are in conflict. There's like, you know, it's not black and white. There's like a, what do you call that? A trade-off, right? So like trade-off between free market capitalism and, you know, a kind of social safety net. Okay, the government comes in and says, no, you can't trade humans. Slaves are off the market. Or they go, oh, you know, maybe you can't advertise pharmaceutical drugs on TV because it's just, yeah, people aren't spiritually advanced enough yet. That would go haywire, like in the USA. And, you know, there's a balance there. You know, what's the right balance? And in this case, I think I would invite, I hope people are listening who, you know, disagree with me. And then perhaps you can kind of see some truth to what I'm saying and think about it. But the you got to balance these things. And it's not just like, okay, well, oh, I like people. And, you know, face to face, if I'm next, you know, talking to some person from Belarus and they're in Ireland, and I don't want to sound like I'm racist and so say, oh, I think there should be kind of fair borders and not too much immigration, definitely not illegal immigration, and even, you know, legal immigration should be regulated and kind of controlled. And we have a lot to absorb already from recent history, so we should probably put it quite low, or pause it even. But that's a conversation, you know, you'd have to we have to start having the conversation first. But I would say that's on the table. But at least kind of like not raising it and kind of bringing it down to something sustainable. So, you know, I think a lot of people would be like, oh no, I couldn't say that to them. That they were, you know, I would feel, you'd feel like you're a bad person. But the truth is, you know, there's a difference between being a bad person and feeling like a bad person. And often someone is going to be unhappy with you, whatever you do. You can't make everyone happy. And the truth is, I think, if we're open to what's actually going on, the truth is very ironic and kind of complex. And it's that the balance of what is just for the whole planet and it's going to move us in a good, beautiful direction towards the flourishing of world peace and harmony between groups and cultures. It's not like, oh, open the borders to just Europe and let everyone flood in. By the way, the part of the world which has the strictest controls on government and where authoritarianism is most held back, flood it, see what happens. And then the rest of the world just like, oh, it remains what they're doing, with deeply entrenched corruption and kind of out of control governments in many cases, even if the people are beautiful. That's not really the solution. And you know, trying to force this, you know, mixing. So that's not the solution. The solution is, I think, restore balance, you know, get Europe back under control. Be like, okay, look, we don't want to be like running around the world, running empires or being like Hitler, you know, marching off and genociding people, or like, you know, being like Christian missionaries trying to destroy local cultures and, you know, okay, let's not do that. But let's not go too far the other way and just totally give up and let our culture disappear and our ways, especially given that objectively, by many metrics, this culture is the carrier, not of something that's European, but of something that's universal, which is the right to freedom and liberty, liberty of religion, like freedom of consciousness. These things are very strong in Europe traditionally, and so we have a right, an obligation to defend that. And it's not just about European culture, that's about humanity, so that it can start to bloom in other cultures, as it has throughout time, but it comes and goes, you know. The lotus opens, the lotus closes. And so the solution, I think, is we reestablish more firm controls in Europe, just like kicking some people out of your house. Hey, house party. And they're like, I'm not leaving. You're like, okay. You go around, you gather, you know, a few of your buddies, and you go back. Hey, it's time to leave, pal. Come on. Thanks for coming. All right, guys, out we go. Party's over. And tense standoff. And then they're like, okay, well, there's a bunch of these dudes, and they've been very polite to us, and they're smiling, and they're just saying, hey, guys, you got to go. Okay, fine, whatever. And they talk some smack, and, you know, there's the banging of doors, and, you know, the whatever, you know, whatever, man, you know, like some French guy, like, let's go, let's, the door, push la porte, you know, and they're pushing the door there, and they're out, you know, and you're like, okay, great, they're out, you know, then great, you know, so in some, and then you can have the party start up again if you want. So there's a bit of a confrontation, and it's not like with the people who are here, but it's a confrontation between the people and the government. But maybe confrontation's not the right word, because I think it should be peaceful, but it needs to be firm, and you need to say, look, like, we have a situation that's out of balance. For some, whatever is going on, the government are not listening to the people, when the people are in the right, that, like, hey, like, this is not a sustainable thing, what's going on. And we, the future, what's good for everyone, I think, is bring Europe back into alignment with native rights, that the people, just like indigenous people all around the world, have rights. We all agree, you know. Indigenous peoples of Europe have, you know, however long they've been there, 1,000 years, whatever, you know, they have the right to be there, and respect that, and not try to mush it into a big soup and go, look, the Czechs can be Czech, Hungarians can be Hungarian, Irish can be Irish, Norwegians can be Norwegian, you know, it's all good, let everyone, Ukrainians be Ukrainian, right? And then when that's more in balance, and we can restore things and get, you know, the creeping authoritarianism in our countries under control, the Great Reset thing, you know, but, okay, look, you know, reset yourselves, okay? Go take five, you know? Let's, like, we can build a beautiful world, but no, we're not giving up individual freedom and living in, you know, like a China sort of thing. That's not happening in Europe. That's not, you know, that's not right. So bringing Europe back into balance, and then we can give our gifts to actively going around the rest of the world and trying, not through force, but through persuasion and through help, trying to genuinely, you know, inspire and support freedom and justice all around the world. But we have to, charity starts at home. We have to have a strong base in order to do that. And so part of that is bringing in proper immigration controls, because from a, again, just to recap there, from a resource standpoint, economically, we cannot support all these, you know, newcomers who are coming in, and it's, you know, it's very, very expensive. Numbers in Ireland are incredible. The amount of money being spent on this, bringing in people, the majority of whom, it seems, are in fact, or at least a large amount, but I believe it's actually a majority, I can't remember the numbers, to be fair, are economic migrants. They just want a better life, and that's totally understandable. Of course they do. But it's not their fault. It's the government's fault for letting them in. The government should be, we understand you want a better life, but sorry, you're going to have to try to improve your country. Like, we're doing our own thing over here. We've got some stuff to work out. So bring in those controls, and so that from a resource standpoint, we come into balance. Cultural standpoint, we come into balance. We can, we're dealing with the death of God, you know, decline of Christianity, and trying to find a new system of meaning and spiritual connection to nature and each other. There's a lot going on. We don't need to keep stirring up more elements. It almost looks like, you know, that's why some people think it's intentional, you know, and to just cause chaos, to undermine, you know, the traditional culture of freedom, and so people are more able to be controlled. You can understand why people would think that, right? And So, you know, cultural, economic, and security, like with the crime rates. And in general, like if there were a war, like, and we're in this situation, that's not so good. You know, you want a stable society that knows who it is in that kind of situation. But never mind a war, just like, and please God, let's just have peace. But like crime, this real problem, it's very tragic. So many of the stories you hear where it is connected to people coming from deprived places, moving in, and, you know, there's a correlation there, you know. That gangs didn't used to be slinging bombs at each other in Brussels, you know. Or is it Brussels or is it Sweden, where there's this huge phenomenon of bombings, like between gangs who are like, you know, immigrant gangs. And there's many beautiful immigrants who aren't bombing places, of course. But it's just, we need to be aware of the overall thing. And certain groups are much, among legal immigrants, okay, you could control that very easily, right? So let's do it the right way. Controlled legal immigration, get the benefits of, you know, these different ways of seeing things, and, you know, all the gifts everyone has to share, but in a balanced way where we're taking care of ourselves. And one other point I wanted to make before I finish, what was that point there? That was, let me see here. Well, slips the mind, so I guess that's probably enough there. No, it's just there, just on the tip of my third eye. Yeah, I guess maybe just something along the lines of like, it's very useful to put yourself in the other person's shoes, flip things. Imagine, you know, you'd arrived in Uganda, right, because for a better life, they had better opportunities there. And then there's someone saying like, hey, you know, I'm kind of part of this movement where we're trying to, you know, awaken spirituality and political awareness in here in Uganda. And I know you're an immigrant there, Jamie, but, and you know, oh, cool, you're great, you know. I know you're contributing to society and stuff. But the native people here, we're actually, you know, our government is kind of selling us out. And because it's, you know, fashionable, basically, in their circles, and maybe because they want to destabilize things so they can get more power from us, they're bringing in people from Ireland, from, you know, Germany, from, you know, China, people from all over the place are coming into Uganda here. And a lot of native people are actually suffering from this. And so we want to bring things into balance and say only legal immigration and not too much, because the Ugandan people have a right to be here. Now, can you imagine going, you racist, you know? Of course you wouldn't. That would be crazy. So I think flipping things and just thinking about it logically, it's a difficult, challenging conversation, but then that's what we're here for, right? The universe here to expand our minds and open our hearts. And so I think this is something where the answer is not just to go, oh, okay, everyone's racist if you don't do the you know, politically correct, fashionable thing. It's like, actually, you're doing a disservice to people, humanity in general, and immigrants everywhere, if you are out of balance. And, you know, I'm an immigrant to Ireland, although my parents were immigrants to Australia because they were Irish born, you know, so I'm a re-immigrant, you know. You know, immigration has many benefits, but it must, like all things, you know, everything in moderation. So, okay, that's it for now. Gormila Margwiv, Arigato Gozaimashita, Seshe, Merci beaucoup, grazie mille, what else we got? Gracias, Spasibo, Dziękuję, danke schön, danke vel, what's that? Maya, what is it? Kotsemena or something. And you can tune off whenever you want. I'm just going through all the ways to say thank you. Yeah, may all beings be well and happy, and may we do the right thing even when it's slightly uncomfortable, and may we guide the earth in a beautiful trajectory towards the world peace and the inner peace that is waiting for us right here amid all the chaos when we're ready to connect. Thank you.